2023-939, Senate Bill 921, House Bill 2646, and House Bill 3244. All of these are scheduled for work session. And all of these have come from respective judiciary committees, is my recollection. So we will open with a work session on House Bill 2420.
Yes, Chairman, committee members. House Bill 2420 is the bill relating to manufactured controlled substances. This is a bill that Representative Winters has worked on over the last two sessions. It came to this committee from House Judiciary and Criminal Law. What it does, it requires the Criminal Justice Commission to amend its rules to prohibit persons convicted of manufacturing substantial quantities of methamphetamine, including salts and isomers, from being eligible for optional probation. I handed out for you a fiscal impact of the bill, which shows that the approximate fiscal impact for 0103 is approximately $32,500. The bill has been assigned to the subcommittee, and for that amount of money, there is no additional appropriation being provided. At this point, the department would be asked to, primarily the Department of Corrections, would be asked to carry out this this estimated impact within its approved budget. What I also placed before you in the packet was an amendment to the bill. The bill in its current form that was referred here included a approximately $56,000 appropriation to the emergency board. That was an impact estimate that was developed last session, and the amendments delete that appropriation and move the bill out in all other respects as it was sent here. Representative Winters is here if you'd like to have her
speak
to the bill.
She is.
Representative Winters, would you like to say a few things in your defense?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jackie Winters, and I'm the representative for District 31 here in Salem. And I brought this before you this morning. I had the similar bill last session, which didn't quite make it all the way through the session. In fact, it was still there on sine die. It passed both chambers, and it just didn't get through. And I don't have to remind you, I don't think, of the importance of what's going on in methamphetamine manufacturing in Oregon. If you read the paper this morning, you would have noted that there was an article that talked about the manufacturing within in the parks and forestry. It's a huge issue in the Northwest. If you had heard some of the testimony that was in judiciary, you would have heard from my chief of police here in Salem, which talked about the number of, I think, 4 out of 5 murders committed in Salem during calendar year 2000 came as a result of drug activity. The social impact that's occurring in the methamphetamine use has having a devastating effect on our children and our families. It's one where I use the phrase that we can't be proud of being known as a place for methamphetamine manufacturing and use, and we are known for it. I mean, make no mistake that the word is out there, and there's a lot of it that's taking place. 20% of the children who die as a result of neglect and abuse in our state is connected with methamphetamine abuse. We've had cases of where a house blew up in Portland where they were manufacturing methamphetamine. So it's something that I believe that we cannot continue to put our head in the sand and ignore. It is a major problem, and the bill simply says that you will not get probation in this state if you are found manufacturing methamphetamine.
Thank you, Representative Winters. Are there questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Leonard.
I'm just curious. In Section 1 of the bill, it says it speaks to substantial quantities of methamphetamine. How is that defined?
And I don't have the committee staff.
I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering if that's some term of art that means something specific.
Well, described in ORS 475.
Oh, it does. Yeah, 475996. Okay.
Sub 1, sub 8.
Okay, apparently is defined somewhere.
Representative Doyle, you pretty much have this memorized.
I was just going to suggest Representative Leonard just go look it up.
That time of the week.
Okay. Thank you very much.
5 grams more. There is a definition.
Well, 5 grams or more.
Well, there is, if you look at section 2, it gives you a listing.
Oh, you mean if I read the whole bill?
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Oh, you're right. It's right there in front of us. That's why we hesitated in bringing you forward.
You know, I hear in human services, in our subcommittees, you know, the aftermath of what's occurring with respect to children and families. And make no mistake, it is really a serious problem in the state of Oregon. And I attempted to address it last session, and I felt that we need to send a message out there that Oregon is not a haven for the manufacturing of methamphetamine.
Thank you. Senator Trill.
Are there many optional probation sentences given?
From some of the comments that I've heard from the judges, yes, there are optional probation. So, in fact, it was the judges here in Salem who also asked me to go forward with the bill. So,
further discussion? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Miller. I'm almost proud to report this. I don't know what salts are. What is that?
You know, salt. Seasoning. There's different kinds of salts, and this is the isometric, as I understand it, salts.
I guess I just need explanation. The manufacture of substantial quantities of methamphetamines, including salts.
Well, when, as I understand, and you'd have to talk to the experts, that most of the items that you find to make methamphetamine, you can go out and purchase in the stores. And so salt properties is one of them.
But it also says it's salt.
It's,
so it's not just salt, go buy Morton's off the shelf, I don't believe.
It's.
I just got to add, I just need clarification. Yeah.
Well, I've never made it.
You're doing a lot of cooking at Jackie Christmas.
There's Morton salt and then there's isomer salt.
Well, I guess I'm making this.
It's not in that blue package.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm not going to give any cooking lessons, so.
Are there other questions? Thank you, Representative Winters. We
Thank
are
you.
In a work session, and Senator Trow has moved the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2420. Would that be correct?
That's
correct. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the amendments are agreed to. Senator Trow moves House Bill 2420 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is so ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And the Terriers will be. You'll do this on the. You want to do it when it gets back to the floor?
Right.
Can we do that? I suppose.
You could do it on the floor. Yeah. Or full.
And since Representative. No, he's not on the full. So we got myself, I guess.
Jackie is.
And you can do. You want to do full?
Sure.
All right, you do full. Great. Thank you. We'll close the work session. House Bill 2420. We'll move into a work session on House Bill 2393.
Yes. Chair and committee members, House Bill 2393 is a bill that would establish an interstate compact. It actually abolishes the current one and reestablishes another one. It takes effect when 35 states join the compact. It also requires the state of Oregon to establish an Oregon State Council for interstate adult and juvenile adult offender supervision. There are some costs associated with it, and the fiscal impact reflects that. Also attached to your fiscal impact, a letter from the Director of Corrections who's here today, indicating that they are assuming no additional funds would be available, and as a result, will develop the necessary funding within their approved budget. The co-chairs have assigned this bill to be moved in its current form without amendment. With the assumption that those additional costs would be absorbed from within their approved budget. As I mentioned before, this Department of Corrections is here to speak to the bill if you would like to have them testify on it. It basically is a bill to ensure a higher level of public safety is provided when offenders move between states.
All right, where's the... Come on it, please.
All amendments.
No amendments. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Ginger Martin with the Department of Corrections. As Larry mentioned, the bill updates the current agreement which governs the transfer of the supervision from state to state of adult offenders and replaces the one that was written in 1937. It was developed by legislators, compact administrators, court administrators, and victims advocates from around the country. It improves the process for transfer and information sharing between states and thus improves our ability to supervise properly those offenders who move to Oregon and in other states those Oregon offenders moving for supervision. And it establishes a national commission with representation from each state that will establish nationwide standards and about the movement of offenders and also will monitor compliance with the agreement. And this is something that doesn't exist now in our current compact. And we are prepared to, because we think that this legislation is important from a public safety standpoint, we're prepared to develop the necessary funding from our already approved budget.
Chair Hansen,
any questions?
So that I'm looking at the total general fund, $75,000, but we're not going to allocate that? Is that what you're saying?
$75,000 is our estimate for a full biennium. For this coming biennium, because we're waiting for 35 states to actually enact the legislation, this change won't happen until that happens. So for this coming biennium, we're estimating an impact more along the lines of $40,000.
I was more asking, is that the amount you're saying you would take from your existing budget? Or are we adding that amount to the budget?
This would come from our existing budget.
Does he want to talk to you?
Any additional questions? I'll bring the chair back to call for the vote, or
thank you, Cliff.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Troll.
I move that we send Senate Bill 921 to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Troll moves House Bill 2393 to the...
Ooh, did I send the wrong one?
Well, eventually you might send that one. But
okay.
This is to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing seeing none, it is so ordered. Thank you very much. Carriers would be well, Senator Troll would like that.
Yeah.
So we'll let him do that. And Representative Doyle is enthused. Always ready. Now, Senator Troll, you want to begin a work session on Senate Bill 9?
No, we're not ready on that one. I sorry. Too many bills in front of
me. No problem.
Yes.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Fletcher, Legislative Fiscal Office. And there's a packet in front of you for Senate Bill 921. The background on this bill, in 2000, the federal government passed Public Law 106-572, appropriating grants to be used to enforce computer crimes. The Senate Bill 921 creates a task force which will help meet the requirements so that Oregon can be eligible for these federal grants. And part of that is that there will be an assessment made of state and local governments and the work that they are doing on computer crime. There's a fiscal that's been prepared which shows some different ideas on how a task force might be able to approach the assessment of what's going on in computer crime throughout the state. Initially, the Department of Justice projected if field visits were needed to in-depth, to do an in-depth review of all these activities, that they might need as many as four positions for 9 months. However, there's other ways that this might be approached through telephone or mail surveys under smaller costs. And turns out, as the co-chairs assess this, they would like to move the bill but have the department absorb these costs, so they have not provided any appropriation for this. So I've listed the fiscal here as well as the bill. The department is prepared to discuss what they might be able to do without any additional funding if you're interested in that report.
You want to make a brief statement, Mr. Shepherd?
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pete Shepherd. I'm the Deputy Attorney General. Mr. Fletcher has set the stage in order to qualify for these federal grant funds. Oregon needs to complete a statewide assessment of the need for enhanced criminal investigative and prosecutorial responses to computer crime. I'll cut to the chase here. The bill itself provides for a assistance to the Department of Justice in its staffing responsibilities to this task force. The bill provides that other state agencies are required to cooperate and assist, and in addition specifies particularly that legislative standing committee resources would be available in the assistance in the execution of the task force's responsibilities. We wish that we would be funded in the way that we indicated to the full Judiciary Committee. We think that's the route that would lead to certainty in qualifying Oregon for these grant funds. However, we recognize that not all wishes are fishes. And so I provided you with the minimalist approach. And that approach is just a one-page summary. In effect, it would include essentially a telephone and mail survey reaching out to the Oregon law enforcement community to try to identify as best we are able with those resources what the incidence and nature of computer crime is currently and what resources currently exist to address that.
Thank you. Are there questions? Thank you for your presentation. We're in a work session on Senate Bill 921. Chair. Senator Droll.
We didn't ask about the minimalist approach, but is that what the department's recommending?
I think that's all they figure they can do based on the current financing package.
I'll move the minimalist approach then.
Well, I think we just move the bill without the additional funding, and that's the performance we would expect.
Okay. Doesn't take any amending.
It's kind of like the BFC represented on it. It's the least we can do. So, Senator Crowe's moved Senate Bill 921 to the full Committee on Ways and Means with the two pass recommendations. Our discussion, objection, hearing and seeing none, it is so ordered.
You better explain what the BFC is. There's some raised eyebrows out there.
It's okay. Maybe we'll invite him this week.
You invited everybody else. You might as well.
The carriers, I'd be happy to do that. And on the House floor, Representative Leonard, this is his conversation.
No.
Thank you, John. We're not going to do that, actually. All right. We will move into a work session on House Bill 3244. For those of you who are here on House Bill 2646, we are not currently intending to get to that bill today. So we will begin a work session on House Bill 3244. Sorry about that, the inconvenience. I just brought to my attention.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, House Bill 3244 would elevate assault of a taxi driver to a C felony if the offender had a previous person felony conviction or a misdemeanor conviction involving violence. The bill was amended by the Senate Judiciary, from which it comes from, to add the prior conviction requirements. There are no amendments approved for the work session today, although I believe we have some amendments from Representative Hansen. And the fiscal impact of the bill is minimal, and as such, there is no plans to appropriate any money for the impact of the bill in its current form.
Okay, thank you. We're in a work session. Let me ask some of the judiciary members. Representative Doyle, you serve on. No, you don't serve on that committee.
No. I don't Who's believe that? There's we don't have anyone here. From the House Judiciary Committee.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, and maybe I'll be glad to have some people chime in on this.
Gentlemen out there that sponsored the
right, right. Yeah. It's just this is more beyond taxi drivers. It has to do with some crimes we've created for particular professions, offenses against professions, and I'm struggling with why it is each profession now finds it necessary to come and get their place carved out in the statute for this added protection. I mean, last time we did sports officials got some special place in the statutes in having witnessed a ball game refereed in basketball in Bend over the weekend. I can understand why some of the officials need protection.
Not Bend.
But it just... I'm searching for that discussion from the judiciary as to why the ordinary assault doesn't work for all recipients of that kind of behavior.
Okay.
Well, actually, I've sparked a real interest. Oh, Representative Hansen. Yeah.
Well, I can assure you plumbers will never come forward with a with a special request, but there are certainly, in the past, when we dealt with transit operators, bus drivers,
right.
There are some professions that are particularly vulnerable to that type of assault. In this case, cab drivers, because of kind of the isolation of where they're plying their trade and the unique circumstances surrounding, 2 o'clock in the morning, picking up anybody that asked to get in your vehicle. Bus drivers, it was because of the potential of danger to the passengers or other vehicles if they're assaulted while they're operating in. So I think as soccer referees are a different kind of a situation, but maybe based on the emotion of the moment.
This is basketball. Soccer referees, it's a given they're messed up. Right, Representative?
But I guess we will over time see different professions that may be in a particular vulnerable situation. And
I guess maybe the gentleman who's with this bill, would you come up and this is probably the nut of the question is, do you believe that these people who currently are posing a problem for cab drivers, and it is, I'm sure it is dangerous at certain hours, certain places, whatever. Do we believe that the potential offenders are keeping track of these new statutes? They're going to say, wait a minute, I got a prior felony, I better not hit this cab. And we think that this is going to help you.
Chairman Miller, just for the record, my name is Michael Talley. I'm on the Taxi Cab Board of Review for the City of Portland. When a committee was appointed about a little over a year ago in response to the death of a driver, shooting death in the middle of the night, we looked throughout the country to find out what approaches various cities had taken to making drivers safer. This particular bill is based on a Hawaii statute, HRS 711-714, that was added to a transportation bill that they had there. And the theory beyond the obvious of protecting drivers of buses and taxis, they were together there, was to protect the public from a driver who was stunned or dazed or startled by being attempted robbery or just fare evasion or something. The office of the prosecutor for the city and county of Honolulu had told me that although they seldom use this statute to prosecute, because they usually are able to prosecute at a higher level, either for robbery, kidnapping, assault with a weapon, but that the number of assaults there has gone down, and they base it, and they think that it may be the fact that they have posted in every cab in Hawaii, or at least in Honolulu, a sign that says any assault of this driver is a felony under Hawaii law. So while I hardly think that you know, perps read the paper to find out what the latest crimes are, interesting side note to that, I transport school kids that can't go on the bus for one reason or the other, and they discuss what's cool under Measure 11. I mean, I've heard discussions about that. So, you know, on some levels they do. But the one thing I would like to kind of illuminate about taxi drivers, as a profession, they are 4 times more likely to be killed on the job than a police officer, 21 times more likely than the average citizen. And among professions that are not normally armed, which would be police officers and private security guards, they are the profession most likely to be the recipient of a non-fatal assault. So while I don't think that this will end up costing even as much as the projection, because they, like I said, they don't prosecute under that provision that often, and so many things already are, the sign that says if you assault this driver, you're guilty of a felony and can receive a 5-year sentence, I think is what we really would like out of this.
Okay. Senator Troll?
Yeah. I was just going to say, it seems to me that for sports officials and for taxi drivers and others, designating a certain kind of crime, hate crimes, for instance, is a way, I think, of specifying and creating a little more deterrence than you get otherwise from people acting, because they know specifically that this is designated as a crime, and more publicity gets out about it if it's specifically designated. So I think it has a deterrent effect. I think it will just be better known than just a general statute on assault would be known. I may be wrong, but I think that's
Senator, right. I've got assurances from widely in the press in Portland, where I've kind of concentrated this, that they will highly publicize a bill signing if that were to come, and do stories on it.
Okay. Is there a further discussion? If not, Senator Troll moves. Excuse me, Representative Hansen.
Would you want to briefly discuss the two amendments that are in front of us, whether there's a need for them? Page A3. Now, does that have the effect of removing the language that there would have to be a previous conviction?
Right. That they were prepared based on where we kind of thought the public safety officer bill might be going. So since you're not doing that, I have hard to address that. But it does remove the qualifier that you had to be convicted of a previous person crime or violence misdemeanor. It kind of cuts by about down to about 1/5 the number of people who would be covered under that. The addition of that kind of removed the teeth from the bill.
If we're not doing the other one, then we don't need this.
Probably not.
Well, I think we're going to apparently be on hold on both of them.
Mr. Chair, staff, if I may.
Sure.
I believe that this bill was amended to make it the same as the way 2646 was amended, so that when the both bills went forward, there would be equal treatment for all professions that have a Class C felony enhancement because of the occupation of the victim. So that, in fact, there are a couple of current Class C felonies for bus drivers that in 2646 were brought down to the prior conviction, so that
firefighters,
so that all the so that all the professions would be treated equally. And I don't believe that the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee has signed off on the amendments.
Well, Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm not sure it sends a good message. You know, we've skipped over the bill, but we've referenced it here to send to the public that it's now all of a sudden a lesser crime to assault a firefighter or a bus driver, as 2646 do. So,
I think that's what's being discussed, and I would hopefully all this is going to be worked out.
And so. Representative Knopf actually had me focus on the language of this, and I'm hopeful that this one as well can be amended to clearly state that it would be a felony to assault a cab driver. These are folks that have no means of defending themselves. I guess, you know, if you want to reduce the penalty on firefighters for assaulting a firefighter, I would agree to that if you'd give me a gun.
If you give you what? A gun.
A gun. I would trade.
Okay.
We'd like to be at the same level as bus drivers.
All right. I think that would be a fair. Representative Knopf.
I'm sorry, I was out of the room. Are we going to take a breather on both these bills for
yes,
a bear?
Yes.
Try to work this thing out?
Yes, we are.
Thank
They're
you,
still
sir.
Alive, though, the bills.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's. Okay. This is okay. For understandable reasons of trying to make them even better.
All right.
Okay. They'll be back. So we will adjourn the work session on House Bill 3244. Is there anything further to come before the committee?
Yeah, I don't know why this.
Just keep your eyes open for notices of prospective meetings. Right now there is nothing scheduled, but we know that these two might likely be back before us.
Do you think we'd have anything more today?
Not today.
Not today.
No. If there's nothing further to come before the committee, we are adjourned.